Well, here we are again. I have to admit that 3 months kind of flew by. It's good to be here again. Let's see if I remember how this preaching thing goes. I know you've been working through the book of Proverbs with Pastor Dave, and so I'm going to continue with that this week and next. Proverbs is often seen as a collection of practical advice for God's people, and that's true. But the book itself expresses a deeper purpose, and let's look at that a little bit for a moment. Proverbs 22, and you'll see if it's typical me, we've got lots of scriptures we can look at. So Proverbs 22 says this: pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have them all ready on your lips. Now there we go. And then this: so that your trust may be in the Lord, and I teach you today, even you. I find the word "even you" a little bit condescending. You know, it's kind of like, even you. But anyway, that's just me personally. But this idea of trusting in the Lord, the deeper purpose, trusting in the Lord. You know, there's lots of good advice, and it is good advice on how to live life. But the goal is to trust in the Lord. Real wisdom is about where you place your trust. And ultimately, the only wise place is with God. That's what Proverbs is deeply about. And I found this quote when I was in my readings during my sabbatical on the idea of trust here. And this is out of a book by a guy named Keating. And he said, "It is trust that allows us to take that initial leap into the dark, to encounter God at deeper levels of ourselves. And it is trust that guides the intimate refashioning of our being, the transformation of our pain, woundedness, and the unconscious motivations into the person that God intends us to be." And I kind of like that definition of trust. This is about God entering all these places of our lives and then allowing us to be the person that God intended us to be from the get-go. So that's with that in mind, the deeperness of Proverbs, let's dig into the proverb that I want to look at this morning. Proverbs 13:22, the one we're going to look at, and I'm going to jump from that. Look at it with me. "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous." Okay, leaving an inheritance. Normally, we think of an inheritance as the passing on of one's person's wealth, money, property, all that kind of stuff. There's some folks who are hoping they have some rich relative out there somewhere that are going to leave them a lot of money. I was reading a little bit about some interesting stories of inheritance, and I read this one. Eva Paoli, an Argentine maid without a father, and after some research, she concluded that her father was a rich baron who had died in 83. She demanded a paternity test, but the baron's estate was so against it that they exhumed the body of the baron and replaced it with another man. Paoli persisted and got the DNA of the baron's mother. Paoli won and went home a rich woman. All right, crazy story. Maybe some of you remember this name, Leona Helmsley. She was a socialite and a billionaire known for her tough and mean demeanor. Her best friend was a terrier named Trouble. She showed her love to the dog by bestowing upon it $12 million, even more than the $10 million she gave her brother. Two grandchildren were left out of the will completely. The brother is now the executor of the will for the dog. The two grandchildren should have perhaps learned a thing or two from Trouble on how to wag tails and cuddle up to the master in order to get at some of that riches there. But it's sad. Sometimes you hear about families who split over inheritances and fighting over wills. And this isn't what Proverbs is talking about. Yes, it is referring to some of the resources that you're gifted. But it's talking about much more than that. I threw in Proverbs 19 because it gives a different feel. Look at it with me. "Houses and riches may be inherited from parents, but a sensible wife is a gift from the Eternal." You know, right? This idea, relationships, right? We can talk about what we're passing on, but the relationships matter more. Yeah, all the money and stuff, whatever. The relationships are way more part of an inheritance than anything else. jumping around a little bit here. Psalm 135, talking about inheritance for the people of Israel. And he, God, gave their land as an inheritance to the people of Israel. And there, the inheritance is this promise from God, the promised land that goes down from generation to generation. So when we think of this idea of inheritance, it's again, this whole idea, what is a proverb? It's wise, practical advice on the one hand, but it goes deeper, and it's deeply about trust of God when it comes right down to it. All right, and Deuteronomy 10, I threw this in there because I think it's an important reminder. For the Lord, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Because in these passages about inheritance, it is closely connected to the idea of stewardship. Why is that important? Caring for something that belongs to someone else. When we think of inheritance, we think of ownership, and we ought to be thinking of stewardship. Really, we remember and we remind ourselves, it's not yours. You got nothing. It's all a gift, and you get to use it for a time. Something we're allowed to use for a while, and then we pass that gift on. Not as if it's ours, we pass it on because the next generation gets to use it for a while for the good of the kingdom, and then they pass it on. That's why for Israel, the land of promise was an inheritance to pass on to the generations to come. You know, maybe some of you know the story of Naboth. Naboth, an Israeli man, not a particularly wealthy man, had a parcel of land that was in his family for generations and generations and generations. And he comes to this point where he lives next door to the king, and the king says, I want that land. It's right next to mine. I want to expand my garden, and I'll buy the land. I'll pay you double, triple, whatever, and we'll all win. And Naboth says, absolutely not, because he doesn't own it. Not in that sense. It's a gift from generation to generation, and his only role is to pass it on. This land of promise. You see a different sense there. The king stuck on, I own it, I can buy it, you know, and back and forth like that. And Naboth said, no, not at all. And the story goes on sadly to say the king then just arranges his death and murder and takes the land anyway. But Naboth, the story says that Naboth is the righteous man. Whatever you have in life, it's for you to use wisely and then release it for further use because it's not yours. And a good man, the proverb says, a good man and a good woman, they understand this, and then they order their lives accordingly, and they teach the next generation that very same way of thinking. They are stewards of God's good gifts. One of my favorite passages on sharing with the next generation is Psalm 78. Look at it with me. The psalmist says, we're not going to hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob, established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they would in turn tell their children, and here we go, then they would put their trust in the Lord and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his command. But there we go, back to that essence, putting their trust in the right place, not in the money, not in the resources, trust in the Lord. And the pattern is established. We're this generation, we're passing it on to the next generation so they may use it for good as well. So yeah, what do we pass on? Well, yeah, we're going to pass on some resources to be used for good. Passing on relationships. One of my greatest joys as a father of four children who now see all his kids married and having kids as well, so I see them parent. One of my great joys is to see that they're good parents. I feel like I pass something on. I sometimes see some of my own flaws in the kids too, but you know I do see that there's some good parents. parenting skills that have been passed on. In fact, they've improved some of the things that I did. But that's something got passed on, and what a joy that is. But going deeper still, we pass on the grand story of salvation. We pass on the joy of God's love and grace and purpose. One passage in the New Testament that talks about this is Colossians. Look at it with me, Colossians 1. We're going to take a look at a few verses. So that you may live a life worthy. And you can think of Proverbs in that sense too. Proverbs is about living a worthy life as well. A life worthy and please Him in every way. And now here we go. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, because you need to be strengthened, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. And then here we go. Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light? For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Notice in the passage, our inheritance, our salvation is referred to as an inheritance we partake in. Why is that good language? We don't do anything to get it. You know, when you get an inheritance from your parents, for example, and they pass away and you get some of their stuff, it's not like you earned any of that. It's just simply given to you. And he's saying that's the same thing with your salvation. It is a pure gift given to you. It's just handed to you. You didn't earn it. You simply receive it. And then, guess what? You get to pass it on. You get to pass on the knowledge of it. Pass on the story of it. The incredible life story of a God who gives life and invites us into life in all its fullness. This God who brings you from these dark places into light. You get to pass on that story for yourself. This God who created all things and invites us to enjoy the goodness of His good creation, you get to share that. This God, look what He gave us. We get to enjoy it, those of you who managed to travel and see this beautiful province, right? I remember staying on the peak to peak with relatives from New Jersey, and they were blown away, and I was blown away. I got to share, in a sense, the inheritance of this amazing creation, right? And they praised God for it as well. The psalmist says, we're not going to hide this from the next generation. We're going to unhide it. We're going to reveal it. We're going to be really intentional about sharing that inheritance. But if you read the rest of Psalm 78, it's a fairly long psalm, one, I think it's second longest. It's a psalm that tells a lot about the failures of Israel, about the times in the wilderness and the times in slavery. They hear about rebellion and lack of faith. And that story gets passed on too. And the psalmist says, don't be like those guys. Their hearts weren't all that steadfast. And he writes, they tested God. And he says, they spoke against God. And they said, they did not keep in mind His power. Some of you might be saying, well, Sid, that's a crummy inheritance. You're going to pass that on? Let me tell you this. I don't want anybody, my kids and my grandkids, or any of you, I really don't want you following me. Not really. I want you to follow the one truly worthy of following, the Almighty God who saves me, who restores me. And I'll share that story, and hopefully it encourages you to follow the one who brought me that story, this God who rescued me out of the kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light, and He qualifies me. And so, yeah, follow Him. And if we have to be walking together, great. My kids need to hear that my story isn't the point. I simply inherited the divine gift of grace and love. And like the ancestors who needed rescue from slavery, who needed God to help them in the wilderness or they would have died. That's me. That's my story. And I can tell you stories of being brought out of slavery. And I can tell you stories of wandering by my own stupidity in the wilderness. I want my kids to know that too. Not so they look down on their dad. No, so that they look to the one who pulled me out of this darkness and put me into light. That's the heart of what I want. For my kids and for my grandkids and my great-grandkids, I want them to know that I inherited salvation. I inherited life from God. I love how Psalm 78, I put it on your outline. In a couple of places, there's this key word, yet. I love this. Look at it with me. For they did not believe in God. So here's the bad choice of the ancestors. Or trust in his deliverance. Yet. In spite of that, yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of the heavens. And then they get manna and the birds and everything else. And on it goes. Yet he was merciful and forgave their iniquity, did not destroy them. Time after time he restrained his anger. It did not stir up his full wrath. He remembered that they were flesh. And he remembered that Sid is fully a flesh person too. In need of rescue. In need of grace. Picture this. You're sitting down. You're old, really old. You sit down on a chair, and in comes your kids. They're getting pretty old too. You think, when did that happen? And your grandkids walk in, think, wow, some of them are married. And you get the great grandkids, and they're sitting there too, and some of them are already even in school. And then you say to them, you want to talk to them all. And you say, gather around, come here. Listen to what Grandpa has to say here. I've got a story to tell you. It's a story from long ago, all the way up to right now. Listen up, children, because this is your story too. Listen up, everyone. Hear the glorious deeds of God and the wonders he has done. Yeah, we were stuck like slaves. In a land we couldn't get out of, and God came and he freed us. We were stuck in the wilderness. We didn't have a chance to live. And he threw manna our way, and birds came our way. And he led us to this promised land. And we were afraid to even go in. And yeah, we suffered for that a little bit. We suffered, in fact, quite a while for that one. But we needed to learn a lesson. Because sometimes the only way I learn is the hard way. But eventually we got to the promised land. And this God brought us to where he wanted us to know what it is to be in relationship with him. And then we can carry on that story. And that story goes on. And eventually, you know, we were still stuck in so much darkness. And God sent then his one and only son to be one of us. And the story comes where he's on a cross. Because it was the only way to free me from the slavery that I found myself in. And that God rose from the dead. That man rose from the dead to bring us life and all for all eternity and all its fullness. That's our story, little ones, big ones, old ones. That's our story. Your legacy. Your legacy is so much more than your stuff. Really, it's your story. A story of brokenness, and out of the brokenness comes wholeness. A story of faithlessness, and a faithful God breaks in. A story of a God who creates and restores and heals and forgives. A story of salvation that comes to you. A forever story. Where you end up living happily ever after. What a wonderful story. A story of a God who loves the world so much that he entered into it and faced the cross. A story of a God who became flesh, and that God told stories. He told stories of sowers sowing, and he told stories of guys getting beat up and left for dead, and we hear the story of the Good Samaritan, and you hear the story of the two sons, and the one son wants his inheritance even before dad's dead, and he gets it anyway, and he wanders, and he comes back, and stories were on his lips, and then he himself made himself a story on the cross. And the irony was that was the happily ever after story we were looking for. And again, the story of salvation needs to be told. We will not hide the story from the next generation, the generations to come. We will reveal them. For really, these are our greatest treasures, our deepest legacy, the only thing you have that's really worth passing on. So let me ask you, what are you going to leave the next generation? What are you going to leave? Let's pray.